Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time together. We thank you, God, for your Spirit who helps us to worship, God. We thank you for the Spirit who points us to Christ, God, the satisfier, the comforter, the one who gives us peace, God, in our souls. Pour love, God, through your word. Bring conviction. God, help us to change, to repent, and draw near you and be fulfilled. God, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we started a new series on what we call inner healing. And many people, I think, have some sense that God is very helpful in our pain. And I think if you're a Christian, then you probably think, at least you found some comfort and help from God in your struggles. I would say that most people have experienced that. And I praise God for the mercy of God. There's probably nothing more, I would say, on a topic where if God is, and we're going to, as we continue in our series, I hope we can gain wisdom here. This is so key and critical. And so that we can think biblically and very wise about hurt. Because every day, right? As our children, as Tyler and Joshua and Abby, right? As our children go to school, they're going to encounter hurt. And unless we know, right, what it, like in the hurt, there's, remember last week, there's good hurt. When I say good hurt, because all hurt, to be honest, is very redemptive. That means God knows. He sent into the world, us into the world. He sent Jesus into the world knowing that Jesus was going to be hurt. Knowing that we're going to be hurt. So the love of God is, the love is not correlated to the amount, or at least less amount of pain that we experience in life. If that's the case, God did not love Jesus because Jesus experienced the most pain of anyone you can imagine. Jesus Christ experienced the most pain, right, in this life. So hurt is not a measure of the love of God. Now, I was preaching last Sunday and I said something and I was hoping that the Spirit of God would move. And I realized this is such a tough area. This topic is so tough because every one of you are in some sense, and me included, are wise in your own eyes about hurt. You'll hear what I'm going to say, and then when you get out there and when you get offended and you get hurt and, you know, there's something in there that helps you that's going to take you off. And what we do is we respond very sinfully in our hurt. And that's what causes injury. It's not pain that causes injury. It's your sinful response to pain that causes injury, that distances you from God. Now, I said that when I said, hey, the enemy is not your enemy. Your enemy is the fallen heart. Now, when I say that, you're going to, oh, okay, that's good. And then when you go out there, how many people in this room right now have people that you have something against? I bet you do. I bet you most of you have something that you have something against, maybe even me. Or Robert, or anybody, your growth group members. And it could be for a variety of reasons. It could be your disappointment. Maybe people don't love you the way you want to be loved. Maybe people have said things to you. But the point is that in a relationship, all good relationships, you will be hurt. You will. It's part of life. But we think that pain and hurt are the sources of our degradation. It is not. God points us, and we're going to see, Scripture points us, is actually our suffering, our afflictions, that are the sources of our sanctification. And if we don't change the way we process hurt, you will be unwise. You will be very unwise for the rest of your life. You will continue to languish in your faith. The lies we believe about hurting. I'm going to go through this real quick. The devil was a murderer from the beginning, John 8:44, and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he's a liar and the father of lies. I will tell you this, when your children go to school, they will be hurt. And guess where the devil and his demons are encamped? The devil and his minions they fade into the background until somebody gets hurt. Somebody gets offended, which is hurt. When somebody is trying to find temptation, fight temptation, because that's painful. There are all sources of pain. When you try to live a good life, it's painful because it's hard to fight temptation. It's painful. It's painful not to pick up your phone and start scrolling. It's painful. It's painful when your friends have a phone that's really nice and they're scrolling and you're not scrolling. It's painful. And everybody's got a phone, but you don't have a phone because your father is Robert, right? And all of a sudden, he's your enemy. He was telling me about how he's going to get his daughter a brick phone. Abby, I have sympathy for you because I got my daughter a brick phone, right? One of those flip phones. She was so ashamed of it. She hid it in her bag and would have to go somewhere else and secretly, hey, you can pick me up now. But we are so quick. Revelation 12:9. And the great dragon was thrown down. We're talking about Satan, an ancient serpent. That ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth and his angels were thrown down with him. Okay. What am I saying? Every one of you might not notice the works of Satan and the enemy. I will tell you this. All of his works, if you go back to your pains and your sinful responses, when I say sinful response, your lack of forgiveness, your lack of mercy is a sinful response. A bitterness and then you never resolved. That's where the enemy did the work. There is so much a work of the enemy that's inside of you. You don't even know it. That's what inner healing is. God wants to get all up in there and unravel what? The works of the enemy and the flesh. They work hand in hand, the fallen nature. I want to show you a video, actually. Okay, many of you saw it. I hope you could refresh, right, and just see this anew for those who have seen it. Babies, this is a study that was done at Yale. And it was a segment in 60 Minutes. Some of you have seen it. There's a dark side of morality. When I say the dark side, there's a good side. We were created in the image of God. So we have, because we were created in the image of God, we have a sense of justice. And Yale proved that babies are born innately before they're able to crawl. Before they're able to crawl, they could, by their eyes, they've proved that babies have a sense of justice. But now, Notice how this sense of justice is warped in our fallen nature. So in the same study, they proved that this sense of justice is gotten warped. I was floored that this was a secular study. Okay, can you turn off the lights?
Wait a minute. If babies are born with a basic sense of right and wrong, a universal moral core, where does all the evil in the world come from? Is that all learned? Well, maybe not. Take a look at this new series of discoveries in the Yale Baby Lab.
Would you like a snack?
In offering babies the seemingly small, innocuous choice, graham crackers or Cheerios, Wynn is probing something big, the origins of bias, the tendency to prefer others who are similar to ourselves.
Adults will like others who share even really absolutely trivial similarities with them.
So will Nate, who chose Cheerios over graham crackers,
Hi.
Prefer this orange cat, who also likes Cheerios, over this gray cat who likes graham crackers instead.
Which one do you like?
Apparently so.
Remember these guys?
But if babies have positive feelings for the similar puppet, do they actually have negative feelings for the one who's different? To find out, Wynn showed babies the gray cat, the one who liked the opposite food, struggling to open up the box to get a toy. Will Gregory want to see the graham cracker eater treated well? Or does he want him treated badly?
Which one do you like? That one. Okay.
Gregory seemed to want the different puppet treated badly.
That is amazing. So he went with his bias in a way.
And so did Nate.
That one?
And 87% of the other babies tested. From this, Wynn concludes that infants prefer those who harm others who are unlike them.
What could be more arbitrary than whether you like graham crackers or Cheerios?
Nothing.
Nothing. But it matters. It matters to the young baby. We are predisposed to break the world up into different human groups based on the most subtle and seemingly irrelevant cues. And that, to some extent, is the dark side of morality.
Okay. The dark side of morality, okay, is he's talking about. We have a fallen nature. This test, what it's showing, you feel that it is just to punish people who disagree with you. Little babies want people who do not like what they like to be physically punished. Now, those are babies. That nature was not learned. It is fallen. You don't like people who disagree with you. You are hurt by disagreement. You are hurt by unmet expectations, actually. I know parents who have physically punished their child for disappointing them. And many of you out there probably have parents who maybe not physically, but probably emotionally punished you for hurting them because you disappointed them. But we would love to look at, that's other people, but people, if you're not humble and wise to realize, that's you. You are torturing your children by this dark side of morality, this fallen nature. You're torturing each other as couples. You think pain is an indicator for you to act righteously and justly. So do babies. Now, what I'm saying is, there is a time, okay, the knee jerk is sinful. There's a book called Think Slow, Think Fast. There's some things that you don't want to think about. You want it to be because, you know, they talk about 10,000 hours. There are times when you're hurt, especially if you're hurt, you must slow it down. if you're offended, if you've been taken for granted, if you've been taken advantage of, if you've been disappointed, if you've been disagreed upon, if you've been hurt because you were maybe wrongfully hurt, you gotta slow it down, because you know what's coming up? That. The dark side of morale is coming up. And you know what? It's gonna justify why you don't forgive. It's gonna justify your bitterness and anger. It's gonna justify counterattacking. Don't we love revenge movies? I love revenge movies. I hate to say it, right? Taken? I actually want my children to watch it. There's something about revenge. How many of you seen Glory? Right? The Korean drama? It's like that genre, the revenge genre. I've never seen anything like it. It's everywhere. And something about it just feeds you. Doesn't it? It just feeds you. Oh, it's so satisfying. And now, there, when you're hurt people, here's the thing. The fallen nature, the enemy, they don't come out. You don't even notice it. Until you get hurt. Until you get hurt. And your children will hurt you. Your husband will hurt you. Your parents definitely have hurt you. Your siblings have hurt you. Church members have hurt you. Hurt, hurt, hurt. You know what our motto is? Love deeply, love broadly. Are you kidding me? Pain, 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 pain. Disappointment, disappointment, failure. It's like you're just asking for a disaster to occur. But when that thing comes up and you don't know, like you go from that and it's always a knee jerk and you don't process it. You know when you process hurt before you react, you know what that's called? That's called wisdom. That is what wisdom is. Now, the Bible says if you lack wisdom, ask. Oh, you got to be humble though. And we're going to talk about it. Because if you don't process it, you're always grumbling and complaining, right? And you don't think. And here's the thing. You've ever lost your keys, lost something? When I was a kid, I would lose stuff, right? And guess what? You know my first action of the day when I lose stuff? I blame my grandmother. I blame. You know why? I'm hurting and I'm looking for people to blame. Somebody. Somebody better take the fall because I'm hurting. That's the dark side of morality. This is you. This is me. Now, if you don't understand that, if you don't process it humbly, humbly. Now, God says if you humble yourself in your pain, you don't have to humble yourself when you're not in pain. When I go to Disney World, I'm on a roller coaster ride, right? I don't have to humble myself. I never have to humble myself, okay, when I'm having a good time. When I'm in pain, I have to humble myself. When I'm offended, right? When all kinds of things are coming up, I have to humble myself. Now, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be what? You may be a Christian. Do you know what proves that you're a Christian? You don't just knee-jerk in pain. You don't just attack because you've been hurt. You humble yourself. And here's the thing. You know how to love people, right, who hurt you. What is an enemy? The definition of an enemy are just people who hurt you. It's pretty binary, actually. Right? Because your husband could be your enemy if they hurt you. Your children can be your enemy, actually, if they hurt you and disappoint you. Your parents could be your enemy if they don't let you have stuff that you want. But what makes you a Christian is you learn, and we're going to see it, die to yourself, that morality, understand, wow, this is where the enemy, that's when it's attacking. You ever, if you get hurt, your mind is going crazy. You're like trying to humble yourself. It's like, oh my gosh, your mind is going crazy. And it should go crazy. Because you are just engaged in a war. 99.99% of all war, spiritual warfare, happens when you're hurt. Peter came up and said to him, Peter is disturbed, has peeved. He has something because they probably have a bit of a jerk in his midst. Peter's been patient. You know, got a growth group member, right? Not pulling his weight. You know, maybe just taking advantage of Peter and his good nature. Lord, how often will my brother sin against me? And I forgive him as many as seven times. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but in this. That's what that means. 70 times seven. Now, you don't get a break from forgiveness. You know why? Because God never takes a break in forgiving you. You think God, just think about it. Think about all the ways that you betray God every single day. You barely talk to God. He forgives you. He's given you so much, yet at the drop of a dime, you will envy other people. And you begrudge God for the talents you gave that person and not you. For the car, the house, the smarts, you name it. And what God is like saying is what? No, because my love is endless. My mercy's limitless. They're new what? Every morning. Here's some of the lies we secretly believe. Unfairness disadvantages you. In the world, yes. Unfairness. This is an upside down kingdom, folks. When you find yourself in unfair advantage, right? Again, think. What is God doing? Unfairness is not what you think it is. Unjust accusations. You ever been unjustly accused by your spouse? Right? Never? Again, in those moments, you have to process through the Holy Spirit. Those things, they're not the world killers. Betrayal is not the last straw. I hear this quite often. I can forgive, but I don't have to forget. How many of you have been injured in the past, right? You say to yourself you forgave, but you keep replaying it in your mind. And there's no devotion to letting that go. When Jesus forgives you, as far as the east is from the west, I will remember your sins no more. That's forgiveness, folks. And you want to take truth and you want to play around with it. And you injure yourself every time you call it up because you will re-injure. Why? Because you get bitter again and again and again. You need the Holy Spirit. Right? You need that. It's got to come in if it's going to go out. If they don't apologize, don't forgive. You know what Jesus said? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do you honestly think you only forgive when they apologize? Boy, you don't even have friends then. You should avoid being taken for granted. Wow, why didn't Jesus think about that? To love deeply and to love broadly necessitates you being taken for granted. For those who have served in this church, does everybody in the church serve balanced? Does everybody pull their weight? Folks, they don't. And you feel like sometimes you're the only one. And you know what? When Jesus, at the most crucial hour of his life, he asked his most beloved disciples to pray with him. You know what they did? They fell asleep. Peter denied him three times at the most crucial hour of his life. Do you think Jesus forsake him? It is not what defines our faith. Raise your child to have high self-esteem. All right, Romans 5, we read this last week. It says, but rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Now, when you are hurt, this scripture, either you believe it or you don't believe it. You either believe this or you don't believe this. It's binary, actually. Do you honestly think people saying mean things to you, right, is going to injure you or produce character? When you are unjustly accused, what do you believe? What do you believe about pain? Robert read this verse, bear one another's burdens, Galatians 6:2, and so fulfill the law of Christ. 4. Should be a circle right there. Because when you try to love one another, carry each other like that, you know what you're going to think? This is what comes up. You're going to think you're somebody. In Christ, you have died. Dead people do not have rights and entitlements. There's nothing like pain to expose what you believe about yourself. That's why we want our children to grow up with high self-esteem. Because we almost don't want them to learn how to die to themselves. You know why? Because when you're not that popular in school, you think it's going to kill them. It's not going to kill them. I made that mistake. People, in order to bear each other's burdens necessitates that you think of yourself as nothing. Nothing. There's nothing like being offended and then to try to bless them. After you're offended, it bears the question. You know why we walk away from relationships? Why we distance ourselves? Because we think we're somebody. There are people in this church where you can't be bothered with them. You can't be bothered. And there's a bit of a distance, isn't there? Even within your own growth group, maybe. Because you know why? Because you think you're somebody. Because you think you're somebody. 2 Corinthians 4:8, it says, we're afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair. Here's the pain, and then there's sinful pain, the injury. Persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying the body, what? The death of Jesus. So that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our bodies. You know what that means, folks? I mean, you're dead. When pain arises, you have a path. You can grow and get strong, or you can go and get injured because you believe in the lies. Unwise people go with the dark side of morality. You bask in your offense. You're so offended, you don't know where to go. You're so disappointed, you don't know how to act. And you don't know where to go. And you know what Jesus says? Come. Come and die. Come and die. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinner loves those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. Don't run away, folks, because people are disappointing. Because there's a benefit. If you only have friends that are like you, that like what you like, afford the same kind of vacations you can afford, what benefit is that to you? If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend expecting nothing in return. And here it is. And your reward will be great. If you hang in there and love people that are hard to love, there's great reward. And guess what? That's how you know you're a Christian. That's how you know. People run away. There's no substitute. If you want, people say, people are always trying to assure people that they're Christians, but they're not very loving people. Stop! Stop! Point them to Christ. If you don't ever want to die to yourself, but you just want assurances, right? What does it say? Because Christians, they got to learn to be what? It says, be merciful. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. We want to point them to the cross. That's what we want to do. Because it's the job of the Holy Spirit to assure you. I can say that you're a believer all day long. I can say that all day long. But you know, it doesn't amount to doesn't amount to beans. Only the Holy Spirit, through the love of God, pouring out the mercies of God, not just in you, but through you. Notice that? When we become Christians, mercies, we'll talk more about this next week. I just had a picture, you know, this morning as I was praying, you know, and it was a picture of a clogged sink. Clogged sink. And I remember back in Vienna, our sink was so clogged. I took a toilet plunger and yes, it was nasty. It was, because who knows, who knew that the garbage disposals really don't work that well. The water could not go down. And the more I poured the water, guess what happens to the gunk? You ever flush a stopped up toilet, right, and overruns? Look, you gotta unclog that thing. That is the word of God for you. You're clogged up, folks. You are clogged up. And you're wondering, why is the mercy not flowing this way? What's happening with the love this way? Because mercy is not pouring out of you. It's got to pour out if you want it to pour in. And here's the thing. God loves to unclog us. That's the good news. God loves to unclog us. If we just come before the foot of the cross and say, Jesus, I surrender. That's the beautiful thing. And guess what? You'll gain wisdom. You'll gain wisdom. And then mercy just pour out to your husband, to your wife, to your children. Just pour out. I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Whatever you said that was very hurtful last night doesn't define you. I love you. And you know what? All of a sudden now, you know, it makes sense. Because here's the secret though, folks. If you're not a Christian, you can't do that. You can't do that. You're just stuck. Just boiling in your bitterness, boiling in your unforgiveness. That's one thing I love about the freedom that I have in Christ, is that the love can flow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, God, for your loving kindness. And it's your kindness that leads us to repentance. So God, would you pour, God, your loving kindness through your Holy Spirit and unclog the unforgiveness. God, would you unclog the bitterness? God, would you unclog the mess? Help us now come before you, the foot of your cross. And God, and free us, God. Free us in Jesus' name. Amen.